Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Food and Stuff. My name is Gretchen Miller. Today we're going to start off with a recipe from theblindkitchen.com for Monterey Jack burgers with lime aioli. Say goodbye to boring hamburgers. These flavorful, beefy burgers are bursting with taste and are perfectly complemented with a zesty lime aioli and Monterey Jack cheese. Aioli is a sauce made with garlic and olive oil and found in Mediterranean, French, and Spanish cuisines. In this recipe, we take a shortcut and use mayonnaise and garlic powder to produce a zesty aioli of our own. This yields 4 servings of flavorful grilled beefy burgers. For the ingredients, you'll need 8 ounces of ground beef, at least 15% fat, 8 ounces of ground sirloin, 1 egg, 1 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1/4 cup of panko or breadcrumbs, 4 thick slices of Monterey Jack cheese or 8 thin slices, 1/2 cup of mayonnaise, 4 teaspoons of fresh lime juice, 2 teaspoons of garlic powder divided, 2 teaspoons of cumin, 2 teaspoons of coriander, 2 teaspoons of oregano, 1/2 teaspoon of red pepper flakes, this is optional, and 1 teaspoon salt, 1/2 teaspoon black pepper, 4 hamburger buns, I like brioche buns, and garnishes of your choice. The method, you're going to prepare your work area. First, you want to run a few inches of warm, soapy water before you start the recipe so you have a handy place to plunge your fingers when needed. Read our post to start with soapy water, and there's a link at theblindkitchen.com. Have a towel available at your side that travels with you to quickly dry your fingers. Use a work tray to contain any spills that might occur. You'll need the tools you'll need are an apron, towel clips, and work trays. Here's a tip. Make your aioli first so that the ingredients have time to blend. For the aioli, you're going to have step one is to juice a lime to produce 4 teaspoons of lime juice and put it into a bowl. The tools you'll need are a mesh strainer and wet measure spoons. Next, you're going to add 1/2 cup of mayonnaise to the bowl. The tools for that are wet measure cups. And next, you're going to add 1 teaspoon of garlic powder. You'll need dry measure spoons for that. And 1/2 teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes if you'd like. That's an optional ingredient. You're going to mix well and then add salt to taste, cover, and refrigerate. Next, you're going to prepare the beef mixture. In a large bowl, whisk 1 egg, mix in 1 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, add in 1/4 cup of panko or breadcrumbs and mix well, and add to the bread and egg mixture 2 teaspoons of cumin, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, 2 teaspoons of coriander, 2 teaspoons of oregano, 1/2 teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes, again, these are optional, 1 teaspoon salt, and 1/2 teaspoon black pepper, and mix well. Add the 8 ounces of ground beef and 8 ounces of ground sirloin and mix until well combined. Form seasoned beef into 4 patties, about 3/4 inch thick. Tools for that, we have a patty maker at theblindkitchen.com. There's lots of tools available on that site. You're going to grill or pan fry the burger patties. You can use a double spatula, grilling gloves or heat gloves, and a grill glove clip. Add the cheese while they're still warm to allow it to melt a bit, and then garnish with the lime aioli and any other condiments of your choice, and enjoy. Next, from theblindkitchen.com, we have a recipe for barbecue sauce. This flavorful, zesty sauce is perfect for grilling or as a side dip. You can substitute molasses for the Worcestershire sauce for a vegan version. This yields about 2 cups of barbecue sauce, or about 8 servings. The ingredients you'll need are 2 cups of ketchup, 1/4 cup of packed brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce or 1 tablespoon molasses, 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, 2 teaspoons of garlic powder, 2 teaspoons of onion powder, 1 teaspoon of smoked paprika, 1 teaspoon of ground black pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of chili pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of mustard powder, 1/2 teaspoon of espresso instant coffee, and red chili pepper flakes, cayenne pepper, or hot sauce to taste. First, you want to prepare your work area. You can want to run a few inches of warm soapy water in your sink before you start the recipe so that you have a handy place to plunge your fingers. This is something you'll hear over and over on theblindkitchen.com. Have a towel available at your side that travels with you to quickly dry your fingers. You can order towel clips from the Kitchen Basics collection. Use a work tray to contain any spills that might occur. A TBK recipe suggestion: you want to measure and mix the dried herbs and spices together before adding to the wet ingredients for more efficient and leisurely cooking experience. In a small bowl, combine the following dried herbs and spices using your dry measure spoons to measure the ingredients and set aside: 2 teaspoons of garlic powder, 2 teaspoons of onion powder, 1 teaspoon of smoked paprika, 1 teaspoon of ground black pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of chili powder, 1/2 teaspoon of mustard powder, 1/2 teaspoon of espresso instant coffee. In a small saucepan over low heat, use your wet measure cups and wet measure spoons and stir together 2 cups of ketchup, 1/4 cup of packed brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, and 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce or 1 tablespoon molasses. You're going to add in pre-measured dry spice and herb blend and stir, and then bring to a simmer, stirring occasionally. Remove from the heat and allow to cool slightly before brushing on your favorite meat or vegetable, or you can use it as a dip. Enjoy. Our next recipe is going to be from smittenkitchen.com. This one for my ultimate chicken noodle soup. I blame Katz's for this. 2 months ago, when we spent a day out playing tourist, i.e. breakfast bagels, Madeline at the New York Historical Society, followed by the Dinosaur Museum of Natural History, what my son calls it, please never correct him, we decided to finish off our shivering afternoon with a visit to Katz's Deli, a place I hadn't been to in probably 10 years, despite living fewer than 15 blocks from it. And the kid, never, shame on us. Alex ordered the chicken noodle soup, and what arrived was peculiarly perfect. Overloaded with noodles, colossal chunks of carrot and chicken, and I was jealous. My homemade chicken noodle soup never looked like this. So now it's not like we haven't made a chicken soup here before. I shared last year my favorite uncluttered chicken stock, which is technically just some part extra parts away from a completed bowl of soup. I've got a quickie recipe from scratch chicken noodle soup in the archives too, but what I didn't have was in front of me, the kind of soup that might take the better part of an afternoon to make, but rewards you with a depth of flavor that makes everything bad. Threatened head colds, shivering wind outside, pangs of social media envy over apparently everyone being on a tropical vacation but us, and also this taunting me every time I walk by it, at least temporarily disappear. Everyone needs a winter miracle recipe like this in their back pocket. So that Monday was a brutal 32 degrees outside. I began my chicken soup studies. What did the great recipes include that I didn't? I found a few curious leads. A spoonful of tomato paste in a version of Cook's Illustrated, some dried thyme in an old one from Gourmet, plus a few of my favorites, parsnips, my mother-in-law's go-to addition, and leeks, which a friend's house guest had included in a recent chicken soup to my delight. I used them all, and what came off the stove at dinner time was unquestionably one of the best things I've ever made. I know I cook a lot. I know I gush here a lot about recipes, but it still isn't even on a weekly or monthly basis that the gap between what I'd hoped to cook and what I'd end up making is absolutely non-existent. A little bowl of anything manages to embody all of our chicken noodle soup hopes and dreams, but this one did. Here's the recipe, my ultimate chicken noodle soup. This yields 5 quarts, or about 10 to 12 meal-sized servings. You'll want about 4 to 4.5 hours to make this one in one afternoon, or you can break it up over 2 days or cooking periods by making the broth either in the stove in 2 to 3 hours or in a slow cooker for longer, such as while you're at work, at which point you'll need just an hour to finish the soup, making it weeknight accessible. If you're a total heathen, as we sometimes are, you can use up to 12 ounces of soup noodles here for recipes that will be almost more noodle than soup. But I recommend at least starting with a 9-ounce level before determining if overkill will be necessary. For the broth, you'll need 2 medium large yellow onions, unpeeled, halved, or 1 large onion plus 1 large leek, cleaned and cut lengthwise. 2 garlic cloves, peeled and smashed a little, 1 large carrot, 1 large parsnip, this is optional, 1 celery rib, 4 quarts of water, 4 pounds of chicken bones from about 2 carcasses left over from a roast or rotisserie, or a combination of fresh chicken wings, which is my first choice, backs, necks, or feet, 1 tablespoon of kosher salt, 1 half teaspoon of dried thyme, or 2 teaspoons of chopped fresh, 1/8 teaspoon of red pepper flakes, 1 tablespoon of tomato paste, and 1 bay leaf. To finish, 3 bone-in skin-on chicken breast halves, 2 large carrots peeled and diced, or 1 large carrot and 1 large parsnip diced, 1 large leek trimmed and sliced into 1/2-inch segments, 1 to 2 celery ribs chopped or diced, 9 ounces of thin egg noodles or soup noodles of your choice, 2 tablespoons of finely chopped flat leaf parsley. To make the broth on the stove, you're going to combine all ingredients in a large 6 to 8 quart stock pot over high heat and bring it to a boil. Once boiling, reduce to a gentle simmer, skim any unpleasant looking foam, skim the scum is a kitchen parlance for the step, but I'm trying to be polite. And then cover with a lid. You're going to simmer for 2.5 hours. If you're going to do it in a slow cooker, you're going to combine all ingredients in a large 6-quart or larger slow cooker. Cook on low for 10 hours or high for 5. Strain into a large pot that's 5.5 quarts or more and let rest in the fridge until needed. Or if you're finishing the soup right away, bring to a simmer on the stove. Next, you're going to cook the chicken. For both methods, you're going to add the whole chicken breast to the simmering broth, simmer for 20 minutes until they're cooked through, and then strain the broth for the stovetop method, or simply remove the cooked chicken breast from the slow cooker method and set them aside. Taste the broth and adjust your seasoning if needed. As far as finishing the soup, you're going to add diced vegetables to the simmering broth on the stove, and cook for 5 minutes until firm tender. Add soup noodles and cook according to package instructions, usually 6 to 10 minutes. And meanwhile, once the chicken breasts are cool enough to handle, remove the skin and bones and shred or chop into small chunks. Return chicken to soup and simmer for 2 minutes until heated through. Finish with parsley and serve to some very lucky people. So as far as defatting the broth, once the broth portion is complete and the soup has settled a little, you can skim any fat that's accumulated at the surface with a soup skimmer or spoon to taste. If you're going to chill the broth before finishing the soup another day, it's easiest to take the fat off right before you use it. It will have solidified at the surface. And P.S., don't toss it, please. It makes for wonderful matzo balls and fried latkes. For our next recipe, we're going to have creamy lemon basil dressing from The Blind Kitchen. The sweetness of the basil and the tartness of the lemon come together in this delicious and creamy dressing. Just add all ingredients to a blender or food processor, mix well, and refrigerate until ready to use. This yields 12 ounces of dressing, which is 10 to 14 servings. You want to refrigerate for at least 2 hours after blending to allow the flavors to blend together. It can also be made up for up to 3 days before use. Add the dressing to the salad just before serving. You'll need 1/2 cup of sour cream, 1/2 cup of mayonnaise, 1/2 cup of chopped scallions, 1/2 cup of packed chopped fresh basil with the stems removed, 2 tablespoons of freshly squeezed lemon juice, 1 clove of minced or grated garlic, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/2 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper. For the instructions, you want to prepare the fresh produce and dry ingredients first before measuring the more sticky wet ingredients. Prepare your work area by getting out your work tray, scraps bowl, sharps basket, apron, towel clips, clean cloth, and run a few inches of soapy water. You're going to wash a lemon and squeeze out 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. Add to a blender. You can use your mesh strainer and wet measure spoons to strain and measure the juice. Remove the stems from 1 cup of fresh basil leaves and cut the leaves into small pieces. This should produce a 1/2 cup of tightly packed basil pieces. You're going to add those to the blender. TBK tip, you can use kitchen shears to remove the stems and cut them into small pieces. Using your cut glove, dry measure cups, and bench scraper, you want to cut the scallions into 1/2 inch pieces, using both white and green parts to produce 1/2 cup. Add to the blender. Using your cut glove, mini box grater, and bowl scraper, you're going to grate 1 large clove of garlic and add to the blender. TBK tip, you want to grate the garlic into a small bowl. The pieces will be very small and sticky, and a small dish will help to contain them. Using your salt cellar and dry measure spoons, you're going to add 1 teaspoon of salt to the blender, add 1/2 teaspoon of ground black pepper to the blender, and add 1/2 cup of sour cream to the blender and 1/2 cup of mayonnaise to the blender. You're going to blend for 2 minutes or so and check to make sure that the mixture is smooth with no chunks. Blend it until it is smooth. If you're having problems getting it all smooth, strain the mixture using the straining system, which is the cheesecloth bag and the wide mouth funnel and canning jar with lid. Cover and refrigerate to allow the flavors to blend and then enjoy at your next meal. All right, next from the smittenkitchen.com, broccoli parmesan fritters. Doesn't that sound amazing? We're going to start with a recipe for this one to make sure that we get through it all as far as timing goes. There's a lot of broccoli and very little pancake in this fritter. The broccoli is not grated or pureed, but left in small, recognizable bits that are bound lightly, faintly to their batter of egg, parmesan, and flour. And when you cook them right, that is to a crisp in a preheated, heavily oil-slicked skillet, they get a fantastic crisp edge to them, like they were coated in Frico. Imagine that if you were to roll the pancake in additional parmesan, it would get extra Frico, though I haven't tried it yet. Also, I'd like someone to start a band called Extra Frico. To serve, I like these with a dollop of the garlicky lemon yogurt that I share here, and there's a link at smittenkitchen.com, which is roughly 1 cup plain yogurt, 2 tablespoons lemon juice, 1 tiny minced clove of garlic, and a bit of zest and salt. It would also be good with this homemade ricotta, also a link there, with or without additional lemon juice. They're also good simply with just a squeeze of lemon juice. I'd also enjoy them with a little crumbled feta on top. Oh, and of course you can put a runny fried egg on top of it, but I don't need to tell you that. This yields 9 because my recipes never want to grace us with neat, well-rounded numbers. 9 2 to 2.5 inch fritters. You'll need 8 ounces, which is 1 small to medium bundle of fresh broccoli, about 3 cups chopped, 1 large egg, 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/3 cup of finely grated Parmesan cheese, 1 small clove of garlic minced, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, plus more to taste, a pinch of red pepper flakes or several grinds of black pepper, olive or vegetable oil for frying. Prepare your broccoli. You're going to separate the florets from the biggest stems and cut the florets into 1-inch chunks. To prepare the stems, I like to peel them as the skin can be thick, it doesn't cook quickly, and then slice them into 1/2-inch lengths. You should have about 3 cups of chopped broccoli total. You're going to steam your broccoli until tender but not mushy and use whatever method you prefer. My quickie lazy method is to bring 1/2 inch or so of water to a boil in a small saucepan, then add the broccoli, place a lid on it, and simmer it for 5 to 6 minutes. Drain the broccoli and then set it aside to cool slightly. In the bottom of a large bowl, you're going to lightly beat your egg and add the flour, cheese, garlic, salt, and pepper, and then add the somewhat cooled broccoli. and using a potato masher, mash the broccoli just a bit. You're looking to keep the bits recognizable, but small enough, like a quarter to half inch chunks, that you can press a mound of the batter into a fritter in the pan. Once it's mashed a bit, stir or fold the ingredients together the rest of the way with a spoon and adjust the seasonings to taste. Heat a large, heavy skillet over moderate heat. Once hot, you're going to add a good slick of oil. I usually use a mix of olive and vegetable oil, about 2 to 3 tablespoons. Once the oil is hot, you can test it by flicking a droplet of water into it. It should hiss and sputter. You're going to scoop a 2 tablespoon size mound of the batter and drop it into the pan. Then flatten it slightly with your spoon or spatula and repeat with additional batter, leaving a couple of inches in between. Once it's brown underneath, it'll be about 2 to 3 minutes. You're going to flip each fritter and cook on the other side until equally golden, about another 1 to 2 minutes. Transfer briefly to paper towels to drain, then to a serving plate if you'll be eating them shortly, or a baking sheet in a 200 degree oven if you'd like to keep them warm for a while until needed. Repeat with the remaining batter, adding more oil as needed, and serve with some of the suggestions listed in the head notes above. Thank you for joining us for Food and Stuff. My name is Gretchen Miller.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.